Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the regular board of directors meeting of the Big Bear Airport District. Temporary terminal building, temporary west wing. You all please stand for an introduction. Ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now, what's that? That pledge is in what? Okay. And just to clarify, I just skipped the date because it's Wednesday, August 13th, before we. All right, the mission statement. The mission statement of the Big Bear Airport District is that it serves the Big Bear Valley by providing safe, efficient, and exceptional venue for aviation operations. Roll call and introduction for Secretary Rebecca Kim.
Thank you. Board members, when I call your name, please signify your presence at today's meeting by saying here. Director Lawrence?
Here.
Director Lindstrom?
Here.
Director Gardner?
Here.
President Castillo?
Here.
Thank you. We'll have a new board member in just a sec. Also present, we have General Manager Ryan Goss, Administrative Manager Abby Erickson, Administrative Assistant Ariel Valenzuela, and myself, Rebecca Cannon.
Thank you, Rebecca. Okay. Item four, approval of agenda.
No changes from staff.
No.
Five, public comments. The person wishing to comment on a non-agenda item will approach the podium and wait for the president to recognize him or her. Unless otherwise provided for a specific item, all comments are limited to 3 minutes each, with an overall total of 15 minutes. The speaker cannot allot their time to others. Comments on agenda items. Comments concerning matters on the agenda will be heard at the time when matters considered. Comments on non-agenda items. Comments concerning matters not on the agenda will be heard during the public comment section on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Big Bear Airport District Board. Please note, if you wish to address the board on items that are not listed on the posted agenda, the Brown Act does not allow board discussion in such items because they are not on the agenda and thus were not publicly noticed. Therefore, the board may only do the following: refer the matter to staff, ask for additional information, or request a report back, or give a limited factual response. Your comments may be placed on the agenda for future discussion. Any public comments? Okay, hearing none. Move to item six, Big Bear Airport Pilots Association. Jack Williams. You've already mentioned the Ben Klein review presentation last night. I have no idea how many zillion steps there were organizing and processing and doing. LAX to Tokyo. It was an amazing presentation.
It was.
Thank you, Jack. That was a good meeting. Thank you.
Jack, do you know how many people were there?
About one.
How many?
51.
Oh, it was a good number.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Item number seven, consent agenda, which includes the 7.1 approval of meeting minutes for June 11th, 2025, regular board meeting, June 30th, 2025, special board meeting, and July 30th, special board meeting minutes. And 7.2, year-to-date financial reports, including 7.2A, the year-to-date financial report from May 2025, that's on pages 11 and 27, and 7.2B, year-to-date financial reports, June of 2025, pages 28 to 44. The reason for that is we did not have a meeting last month. So, any board, especially the gentleman, any public comments or questions?
I second.
Okay, Director Gardner moved to approve the consent agenda, which includes the meeting minutes from June 11th, June 30th, and July 30th, and to accept for filing the May and June 2025 year-to-date financial reports. Director Lindstrom seconded the motion. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passed with all directors present voting aye.
Okay, item 8, full consent agenda items.
And
are none. Item 9, business matters. Item 9.1, oath of office administered by the board secretary, Rebecca Cannon, to the newly appointed board member, Wes Press.
Wes, would you mind joining me, please? With your coffee? You just repeat after me. All right, state your name.
I am Wes Press.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That
I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
True faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
That I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter. Beautiful. Have you signed that? I have made it.
Congratulations.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Sir?
So I can, well, there's like a little bit. The room's
on my
back. Welcome back, Les. Yeah. Item 9.2, appointment of vice president of the board of directors. I conferred with our legal counsel and with Rebecca Cannon, board secretary, the proper process doing this, go over numbers different ways. But I decided best and fairest way would be we go around the board and before we nominate somebody, we go around the board and ask if anybody is interested. If so, you know, why they like to do it and what their qualifications are. Everybody get a chance to chime in.
I would like to be appointed to that position since I've been here a long time and I feel like I could be a great asset to our group. I have some things in mind that I've discussed with you that I could see us going forward within our group. And within the community.
Director Gardner. Personally, if I was asked to do it, I would. I would probably rather not, only because being new on the board, procedurally, I could probably stumble through it, but wouldn't be very gracious. I just don't think that timing wise would be right.
Director Brouse?
I'll pass.
Director Lindstrom.
Not that.
It's those elves.
I haven't learned my lesson. Maybe next week.
I'm in a similar boat to Daryl. I feel like I'm still learning. I would like to have more experience before I try to step into a position like that. But I wouldn't say no if I was needed. I feel someone with more experience. And can I ask why Director Krause thinks it's not appropriate for you.
So the board officers have a certain level of authority greater than legal members. The board president basically establishes the agenda. So has power essentially to veto whatever might be an appropriate item for the agenda. That's a fairly severe position. I'm appointed, I'd be happy to do it, but I'm just raising that point that I feel it should be an elected person.
That is followed by
both of us.
Three of us.
You're elected. You're appointed.
Well, you ran on a poll.
That wasn't that anyway.
You're still on one technically.
I hate him.
Stop saying anything.
Any further discussion from the board? Any public comments? I will open it for nominations.
I'll nominate Greg again.
No, doesn't require a second, so we'll vote on it.
Any other nominations? Okay, any nomination?
I would nominate Cam, so I think she'd do a great job. I'd do a great job too, we've done it once. So I'd probably nominate Cam. I think we'd do a fantastic job. They cut me some notes and take the job so you can do it. Fine. You don't take photos.
You're right.
We need to go up.
But like the point that Wes just made, I didn't figure that. So experience is a big deal.
You don't want to do it?
No, I'm fine, you know. Whatever you all. Okay. Hearing no further nominations, I'll just kind of do a roll call vote, but instead of saying yes or no, just say the nominee that you wish to appoint to the vice president. Director Gardner?
Lundstrom.
Director Lawrence?
Lundstrom.
Director Krause?
Lundstrom.
Director Lundstrom?
Lawrence.
And President Castillo?
Good. Lawrence.
Yeah.
Okay, with a 3-2 vote, it would appear that Director Lundstrom has now become Vice President Lundstrom. So, congratulations.
I don't need a lot of help.
Okay, item 9.3, discussion and possible adoption of resolution number 2025-04. A resolution of the Board of Directors authorizing the acceptance of and administration of the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Aviation Administration grant for the runway 826 rehabilitation project, applications 48 through 64.
Good afternoon, everyone. So before you, on page 45 is the resolution. This is kind of boilerplate. Process that we need to do. From 46 to 84 is the what we would consider the draft grant offer from the FAA for the runway 8 and 26 rehabilitation, which will include crack sealing, fog sealing, restriping, and we also have a potential bid alternate in there to restripe the entire airport after that. So the main body of work is out to the hold bars on the runway. So this is kind of a standard, an agreement that comes to the airport. We will see another one of these next month. I just didn't want to put it all on this one agenda. So what I'm asking you guys to do is to approve the grant. Give me the authority to execute it. What we will do, myself and my program manager from the LA ADO, We will go through and make sure that the rest of the information that's in here is accurate, and then we will execute it. And I don't know if we're going to have enough time to get started on the project this summer. We just got to see how it plays out in schedules. But if you have any questions, basically what this does is, if when you read through this, there's grant assurances. Every grant that we get federally are essentially, what we're doing is we're saying that we're going to follow those grant assurances. And whatever we do, once you execute this, we're saying that we're going to keep the airport open for another 20 years. Essentially, that's the commitment that you're making to the federal government by taking these grants. There are some new additional grant assurances that are in there. They add them and subtract them throughout, you know, every one of their fiscal years. So the two most current ones, that Big Bear Airport will provide 100 low lead fuel until a suitable fuel of same make and quality is approved by the administrator, which would be the Department of Transportation, the FAA. So what's happened in the past, airports have got rid of avgas and they've put on this new sustainable fuel, and they are not meeting their grant assurances, which puts them in violation. Another one that is a part of this is the new administration has put guidance in there for employees, employment of subcontractors on federal projects. The unfortunate part is, if we don't, to be able to receive the grant, we have to abide by the federal laws. Yep.
And do you see anything negative in everything that you've released here?
I mean, there's always negatives and there's positives. You know, you've got to look at the sustainability of the airport, making sure that you're making a safe airport for our flying community. But there are some drawbacks to signing grants like this.
And for us, of what you personally consider that might be a hazard to us?
I wouldn't call it a hazard. But again, the new administration has put guidance in this document that makes the sponsor, us, me, because I am the general manager, do interviews with all subcontractors that are working on the project to affirm that they are legal citizens of the United States.
But you have done that, right?
I have not. It's not been a requirement.
Until now.
Thank you. And I have spoke to many airport managers. You know, we all communicate one way or another, and we're all in the same boat.
Thank you.
Are you done with your?
Yes, sir.
You sell yourself to the federal government, but the cost to us of the improvements is what percent of the total?
As of right now, the FAA is paying 95%.
Wow.
We only have to pay 2.5%. Because once I have an executed grant, then I will work with the Department of Transportation, Caltrans, and get an additional 2.5% if the state has the money allocated. So really, a $650,000 project, we're going to pay 2.5% of it.
Yeah.
Just
a note about the 20-year guarantee. It really helps Santa Monica. That's it. It is, It's not a guarantee that we'll be open 20 years from now, but it means the federal government will be standing behind us.
Correct.
For any challenge that we might have. I like the idea of 100 low bid. It's obviously in California, especially. I mean, I'm not opposed to an alternative, but I recognize that we have to have it till an appropriate alternative. FAA approves appropriate alternative. That's it for me.
Can I get clarification on that? The fuel, you said that other airports didn't commit to 100 low-lead until there's a quality alternative.
Reed Hillview is a perfect example. Right. They removed their 100 low-lead and put UL-100 on there. They were in.
And then what happened with them? They lost them?
So they're not in compliance. Then the FAA does an investigation. Once the investigation is complete, then they get fined.
So they committed to 100 low-lead, then they changed to the alternative.
Yes.
So they didn't change back.
I haven't looked, but I would imagine that they are making accommodations for that somehow.
So if you were to stick a 10-gallon container out there with 100 more in there, you would be in compliance?
No. No. We No, I mean, you could probably split hairs, but I would imagine that it has to be a facility that distributes fuel on demand for a larger quantity than 10 gallons.
And then if you could just clarify a comment made a little while ago that once this is executed, then you'll go through to make sure it's accurate.
So what I'm essentially doing is putting the grant in front of you guys for transparency and making sure that you guys are giving me the authority to just execute it. The grant, there's certain parts of the grant that may change. So like there's a portion about civil rights. Okay. In 2024, I did a DBE program, which is the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise, which we're required to have disadvantaged businesses do work on federal projects. Right now, my DBE is in the Civil Rights Department of the FAA being reviewed. If I can get that, which it probably won't, but if I was to have that in place, I could remove that from the agreement because I already have that in place. So I would say 99% of this is done. We just want to make sure everything is in place to meet the requirements that we have. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm saying it strikes me weird that we're giving you authority to execute something that could change.
And it's not me that's going to be changing it. It's going to be the FAA. So whatever they put in this, we as a district have to buy off on it if we agree to it. Right. Yeah. I was really putting it before you so you guys would give me the authority to execute it.
So basically, barring any earth-shattering, unreasonable requests, for all intents and purposes, we got to do it. Must be willing to have a check.
The money is there. Every year we get entitlements, which our airport gets $150,000 a year, and I'm allowed to bank that up for a total of 5 years. The airport also gets BIL money, or what we call AEG money, which was during the Biden administration. They put an infrastructure bill together, which equates to about $275,000 a year. So what we've done is we've taken this money. We haven't had any federal projects in quite some time. So I have a piggy bank that we can work with projects. So essentially the runway rehabilitation will be done with our BIL funds and our entitlements. I have about $750,000 in there. And then that's where the AWOS is going to be paid for as well as through our entitlements as well as our BIL funds.
So as time marches on, they're kind of always
still in bond, you still have the bond.
Yes. And if you don't use the money, you lose it.
It would be 20 years to look close and use some more.
Yeah.
You really don't have a big choice unless you're...
Unless we get discretionary funds. So there's a lot of different pots that the FA pulls from. Guaranteed jobs, guaranteed work is by using our entitlements and our bill funds, but we can only keep 5 years. So once we hit that 6 year, I lose 1 year, you know, so we're allowed to bank it up. And in the past, we've had to let money go back because we haven't had those during the era of the SRE building. So if we don't have the money, then we reach out to the FA and we try to get what we call discretionary funds, is where they allocate money that is out of the $150 billion that they put in for airport infrastructure. Yeah. And it's very difficult because we're competing with the LAXs, the Ontarios, the San Bernardinos, the San Diego, all those big airports. Yeah. So, you know,
better to have these guaranteed funds.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice. So the only big changes that we saw, these
branches. Those were the only two.
Was the cap these federal workers.
Yeah.
Is everybody going to pay 92%? What did you say, 92% of it?
95.
So kind of a no-brainer there. And then the fuel, which I think they would want to eventually go to SLF fuel, right?
They're working on it. Yeah, they're definitely working on it, but there are some, it's tied up in legal issues right now.
Based on pushback that probably heard you see, they just say, hey, gotta keep 100 below that, don't get ahead of us.
Yes.
That's all I got. Any public comments? Yeah, I think we do need a motion.
Yeah, motion.
So I move to adopt resolution 2025-04.
Second.
Director Lawrence moved to approve and adopt resolution number 2025-04. Director Castillo, motion. Do a roll call vote just because it kind of does retain the money in a sense. Director Gardner? Director Krause?
Aye.
Director Lawrence?
Aye.
Vice President Winstrom?
Aye.
President Castillo?
Aye.
Motion to approve and adopt resolution number 2025-04 is passed. The vote reference will be fine.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Ryan. Item 9.4, approval of amended and restated lease agreement between the Big Bear Airport District and the Big Bear Fire Corps.
All right. The Big Bear Fire Authority has leased the property located at 100 West Meadow from Big Bear Airport since the original lease commenced in 2017. The original agreement has expired, and both parties have continued operation under their prior terms on a month-to-month basis. Now that we have a new fire chief in place, we were able to facilitate this agreement to formalize a new term and reflect the updated conditions and amended and reinstated lease agreement has been prepared. So the only difference between the previous lease and the current lease is under the maintenance category, section 10. So this, again, was written and approved. It did not come before the board in 2017. A previous manager did this. And leases need to come before the board. So pretty much everything was status quo, with the exception of Section 10. As you can see, the tenant agrees to keep in reserve $800 a month, $9,600 annually, or a maximum of $30,000 in reserves at the time for specific building repairs and maintenance. So because this is a community service and we're providing the fire department and Air Methods a place, the previous manager allowed them to put that money in reserves for future. So We acquired the building, and we won't get into how the airport acquired it, but we essentially inherited the building. And at the time it was sitting there, started to get a little dilapidated. And so when the fire department moved in, the agreement was, you take care of the building. It's all you guys. We're the landlords. There are some other organizations that may use it. We'll work on getting agreements for each one of those organizations. But Big Bear Fire Authority, you are responsible for the building. And so Section 10, we added a maximum of $30,000. What it does is it allows the fire department to budget better in their budget. So they have a maximum amount. So if a roof comes up and it costs them $25,000, they fix it and they replenish that 30 in the next fiscal year or however it's needed. Chief Wagner and I, we took a tour of the building. This agreement was before the Fire Authority Board last night. They approved it. And so I do have a executed contract or agreement from the fire department. So we took a tour of the building, looked at areas that needed some improvements, some paint work, some steps, groundskeeping around it. So what it does is it really reduces the airport's overhead and liability to that property.
No, but I think that was a very good way to go about this, Brian. Let them take the responsibility of the building. Gets it off your
hands. It gets off.
Yeah, it's not a problem. Yeah, good job.
So the rent on the building is $1 a year.
You could essentially, the way it's written is it's free.
Yeah.
But essentially they're putting money
into
a reserve account. Yes.
But they provide the medical personnel for a
So the fire department, the paramedics, and some of the nurses are employees of the fire department. The pilots are employees of Air Methods because of the union. So this was a partnership that was constructed really back in 2015 with Big Bear Airport, Air Methods, and the fire department. There was no way that Air Methods would be able to facilitate an air ambulance from Big Bear without the collaboration of the airport, which was back in the day. You were on the board at that time, the fire department and Air Methods. So it's really a partnership, and it's been incredible.
I mean, actually, a lot of this is trying to refresh my mind. You're right, I was there. The idea was we were providing a service to the community that really didn't exist. I mean, at that point, maybe the sheriff was showing up, maybe the red helicopter, whatever. But this day was guaranteed emergency services. And the billing to, do you know anything about the billing to the users of the service?
I do not.
You can't answer my next question. Not that pencil.
We'll circle back. Yeah, 30 months.
I don't have
any. Brian, could you clarify the agreement with the fire department and them Air Methods, similar to Mutual Aid? Because the fire department is going to be a tenant, but these other groups have use of the building. So are they executing any agreements with the fire department for that use, such as a sublease? What's the agreement? Because I'm trying to understand liability and responsibility. And then when it comes to the insurance of $1 million, is that only for the tenant, or does any of these other groups, whether they're subleases or whatever, do they have to provide insurance as well?
So as you, maybe you don't know, but there's no, the Civil Air Patrol has dissolved. Okay. So previous to this reinstated lease, there was the Civil Air Patrol and Mountain Mutual Aid. Mountain Mutual Aid is an organization that are basically the leaders of all the leaders of Big Bear. We meet, if not every month, every other month. And in the event that we have a catastrophic event, that building would become, quote unquote, the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center. So we actually just had a meeting yesterday. And we're going to be putting together some training to kind of like bring up a, you know, simulated emergency and that kind of stuff. So we're all at the table and we work through some scenarios. What will happen is if, like, I guess Mountain Mutual Aid, it's really a partnership between all agencies. So I don't know who would actually be it would be the airport, right? Because we own the building and I attend those meetings. If it was Civil Air Patrol or something like that, we would do a specific agreement for them to use that area.
They have to then buy the insurance as well?
Absolutely. I would require that additionally insured. Yeah. And if Civil Air Patrol from Redlands wants to use the area, that's something that the fire department and I would talk about, because there was some in the previous agreement, I believe there was something in there about no subleasing. It would have to be approved by the airport. But if we do use it for Civil Air Patrol or any other organizations for that matter, we would ask them, just like we do with anybody, if you're going to be on the property, we're going to ask you for additionally insured and some kind of use agreement to protect the district. Yeah.
So this will come back every year.
This won't come back every year. This is for 3 years plus two 1-year extensions. So we got another 5 years if you guys approve it as written.
Well, I don't even know if this is apropos at the moment. Years ago, Air Methods, wasn't that a private corporation? And they required we get insurance through them in order to take advantage of their service.
At one time, yes, there was. Yes. There was a membership that you were able to pay.
And what happened to that? I mean, now is it covered by personal medical insurance? Is it, who pays for Air Methods when you're a patient?
So there was an assembly bill that was, and I'm trying to go back because this was a big discussion when Air Methods came on, but there was an assembly bill that restricted Air Methods from charging some absorbent amount. And essentially they have a group of patient advocacy group that help negotiate the prices for the flights out, negotiate with your insurance company. But I think it would, and I don't want to speak out of turn. This is years ago, but if you guys are interested, I might be able to try to get Air Methods or even have the fire chief. I don't know if he would even know, but maybe have him come and discuss it. But the moral of the story is the agreement allows for them to be housed in that building. We already have another lease with Air Methods for the facility where they park their helicopters and they do maintenance. It's a great partnership. When we first started looking at this, they needed to do 15 flights a month to make it profitable. I think the second year, maybe the third year, they did over 450 flights in the year. It's a big deal.
It's their busiest
It is usually Big Bear H285 is their busiest base in all of Southern California. Highest, I think it's the highest profit grossing.
Wow. And I had a lot of questions about how much might have made. Nevertheless, just for public information, a lot of lives were saved. Hundreds of lives were saved. And what we're doing here is being a part of that life-saving process. It is something the airport was doing for the community for $1 a year and providing the building so that you can make it by the helicopter required. It is a mutual service. And like I said, I just want to make sure that we understand the airport should get credit for having that additional bus.
And also remember the maintenance hangar that they're in, that lease agreement is through Air Methods. And it has a 4% cost of living CPI increase every year. The building itself, the 100 West Meadow, that agreement is with Big Bear Fire. So one of our community partners.
I remember years ago, I came here and did a real nice presentation.
Well, there's the picture right there. The day that we did. Yeah. Yeah, we did a 1 year anniversary after. And we actually had some people that had been flown out that were here. Yes. Yeah.
Then, wow, very important. This came with double, triple. Public comments? For the board discussion?
Just clarification. So Air Methods does pay for the rental of that.
The maintenance hangar?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, they actually pay for the hangar. And they pay for the parking spot that is out front when the helicopter is out front of their hangar. So it's a square footage for each.
I'll make a motion to approve the amended and restated lease agreement from the Big Bear Airport District and the Big Bear Fire Department.
I'll second.
Any
President Castillo moved to approve the amended lease agreement with Big Bear Fire Authority. In the Big Bear Airport. Director Lindstrom seconded the motion. Director Gardner?
Aye.
Director Cross?
Aye.
Director Lawrence?
Aye.
Vice President Lindstrom?
Aye.
President Castillo?
Aye.
Motion passed. All directors present voted aye.
Rebecca, thank you, Ryan. Item 9.5, session, possible approval of other funding sources. The terminal building construction project at pages 91 and 94. Presentation by Scott Nelson, advisor manager of the Stars in Line Advisory Group. Thanks for coming, Scott. But we have a preamble.
All I was going to say is that a few months ago you approved Starting Line. We had ID Bailey at the time. So Scott has been a part of the airport since we had some staff changes. I wanted Scott to come in and pretty much turn over our entire financial system to see where we could become more efficient. And he's done a very good job. And so I wanted him to come to talk about numbers about the terminal building to be able to, with that increased cost that we saw, about a 30% increase for the construction of the terminal building, I wanted him to be able to come and talk about the numbers and the process and the options that the board has to move forward to fund the remaining amount. So, Scott, thank you.
Absolutely. We're both going to see you there, Ron.
I just have a PowerPoint, same thing that's included in packets, just visual here, so I have something to reference as I go through. Perfect. Good evening, board of directors. Thank you for having me here today. It's nice to meet you all. As Brian said, my name is Scott Nelson. I work with the company called Starting Line Advisory. I've been doing outsourced accounting and financial services exclusively for government special districts in California for the past 8 years. I work with a variety of water districts, road improvement districts, resource conservation, library. You'd be surprised how many things that California operate as a special district. That's been my specialty, essentially my entire career working with government special districts. It's been about 3 years now working as the airport, providing outsourced accounting services, helping with year-end closing, and other items as needed, assisting Abby in the day-to-day when she needs someone to call with a problem, and helping Ryan with some things in budget or other items like that. I'm not a CPA, I'm a CGFM, Certified Government Financial Manager, specializing again in government agencies. All I do is local government. So I consider myself an expert matter, or a subject matter expert in the field. Also a Mountain Local. I don't live out here in Big Bear, but my wife and I live in Arrow Bear, just down. Yes, a nice close, easy phone call away, but winter not the best, but otherwise always a quick drive away. So included in packets today is an analysis of our current cash balances and reserves. It's presented as of 5/31. So I want to talk about where the cash and investments for the agency sit as of that date, kind of review our current district reserve policy, and show where we have our unrestricted reserves. And we'll talk about what that means kind of as we go through this presentation. So with that, I'll open up on this first table here. Top portion of this table, lines 1 through 7 in your packet, reflect our district cash and investment balances. District has funds at Home Street Bank and a checking account. We have our investment in CLASS, California Liquid Asset Security System, that's a comparable investment vehicle to LAIF, except it's paying at a higher interest rate that the district opened about 2 years ago, I'd say.
That can be great money.
We still maintain our LAIF account as well. There's times when LAIF could outperform CLASS, so we'd like to keep both investment options open to the district. And then we have three big buckets all tied to sort of when the terminal bond issuance came out and some money that was designated at that time. So the first of those buckets is the terminal reserve investment account. This is directly tied to line 13, our terminal CIP reserve. That was the amount that the board at that time took action to set aside in their assigned reserves for future terminal spending. So from the time of its original investment at just under $3.1 million, it's grown to just over $3.4 million. Second line there is our terminal bond account. That is the actual amount of the original bond issuance. That's where the fund from those bond earnings sits, earning interest, and is where we draw down as those construction and design invoices have been funded. Line 6 is the income investment account. When we were opening those investment accounts with TD Ameritrade, it's also an opportunity for the district to have a higher performing investment option. So that was money moved out of LAIF at the time into another investment account. And again, it's been performing quite well. I don't have a percentage offhand, but I can certainly say it's outperformed what a LAIF or CLASS investment would have done at the same time. So we factor in all those buckets. We arrive to a total account balances. This is what the district had in these accounts as of 5/31, just over $17.2 million. So that's kind of our starting point. You'll see it noted with an A there. We'll talk about how we calculate that to see what we have left over after we fund all our sensitive reserves. So lines 8 through 15 on that table are restatements of the current district reserve policy. The district has both committed and assigned reserves. Difference between those, to put it simply, is kind of how restricted they are. Committed is a tighter restrictment. Assigned is a lot easier to use the money for various purposes as needs arise. Our committed reserve, we have an emergency reserve, a flat dollar amount at $250,000. Policy states that's for unexpected maintenance or capital replacement type items. Line 9, our operating reserve, that is, you know, to float operations. The agency is funded primarily by property tax revenues, so we're kind of at the mercy of the county. When those receipts come in, it's important we have funds on hand to fund our operations between property tax receipts. That's equivalent to about 25% of the operating budget. Line 10, our federal grant match reserve, that kind of reflects on an item Ryan was presenting today, our share of any potential federal grants. We keep that reserve on hand to make sure we can put up our share, continue to pursue these federal grants. So that brings us to a committed reserve total of $1 million. So that's our tightest, I'd say, restricted money that we always need to have on hand. Next, we have our assigned reserves. These are, you know, kind of target numbers determined by the last time the reserve policy was adopted. Our general CIP reserve, I'd say it's sort of like an emergency reserve, but a little more having that money on hand to fund as needed capital projects, maintenance, you know, in the event of an unseen failure of some piece of district equipment or building. We have funds on hand to address that without having to use our current year budget. Line 13, our terminal CIP reserve, as mentioned, that is funds set aside years ago, specifically to fund terminal construction by the board at that time. And line 14, public outreach airfare, again, that's a line currently from the reserve policy set aside for marketing and related things for the airfare. So when we take our committed reserve total of $1 million on line 11, our assigned reserve total of just over $5.1 million on line 15, we arrive at a total reserve balance $6.155 million. So that sort of represents our end all. Every day we have to at least have that $6.1 million in our accounts available to fund those reserve targets. Anything over that amount, we can call unassigned reserves. These are free operating money that the district has to use for whatever projects or items it needs to fund as a part of its budget in general. So on the bottom of this page, it's a large number at the 11 million, but that reflects the terminal funds from the bond proceeds. It's not named in the policy, but really it's that line five, the terminal bond investment account, that is making that number appear locked. In the packet, you'll see a second column now on screen that shows once we use all of our designated terminal funds, which would be the terminal reserve investment account, board again set aside at that time to fund terminal construction, and draw down all the remaining bond proceeds on lines 4 and 5. Our total account balance we project to be just over $6 million. In turn, our reserves would be mostly unchanged with the exception of line 13, where since we've spent our designated terminal reserve, that then goes to zero because the money has been spent. So on this preliminary projection, we would say after using all our initial set-aside money for the terminal building and the proceeds from the bond issuance, we have unassigned reserves of just under $3 million available to the district. Now, where this comes into the conversation is where Ryan has talked about the cost increases we've seen on the terminal construction project, which takes us to kind of the next page of the board packet, where we look at how we are funding this problem. So terminal construction, shown at the top of these tables, is the $14.3 million. And then we show our two uses of our two planned funding sources for the terminal bill, our bond proceeds and that set aside money from the board from our existing reserve policy. Our funding sources come out to about $10.5 million, leaving us with a difference in funding of about $3.8 million. So the reason for going through our current cash balances, project where we end, with what we have unassigned, essentially available for agency use. If we go back to this slide, that $2.9 million number on the bottom line is to say the agency has just under three, in a projection, just under $3 million available to use towards terminal construction before we even look at any of our reserve funds. That is free and available money to use for terminal construction. So the second table, then.
Slow down just a minute.
No, us.
Because I'm having trouble finding that one that says beta 91.
I'm trying to make sure I maintain a steady place by all means. Don't want to lose anyone along the way. So first proposal would be to use that projected unassigned reserve that we have just under $3 million to contribute towards our terminal construction. That puts our funding difference down sub $1 million, just over $800,000. And that's then the number we're looking at of where we fund the remainder of our terminal construction.
Just A12.
Just A12. So then we go back to this first table where we look at the agency reserve targets that have been set up by the board. When we set up these reserve targets, it is to fund, especially when we look at general CIP reserves, potential major projects for the district. This terminal redesign, as from where I'm standing, is one of the biggest projects this district will do, has ever done, will ever do for the foreseeable future. So we would propose using to fund that remainder $812,000 to draw down from our general CIP reserves to make up that difference. And that would then be the third table in the board packet showing we use our terminal bond funding as we always intended. We use our reserve we set aside at that time of $3.4 million. Use our general CIP reserves. So we draw down, we had $2 million in there today. If you draw that down by $800,000, and then over subsequent years, it would be a line item that we look to add back. Most years, the district is turning a very positive budget. It would not take us more than 2 to 4 years at most to fully replenish that reserve to the $2 million level. And lastly, using our unrestricted cash available on hand. Again, that's money we already have above our reserve targets. And from a government agency perspective, our reserve targets is sort of where we want cash to be. When we have cash above it, we either need to look at making sure our reserves are in line, or it indicates funding that we have to use on projects like this. So with that, I'll kind of go to Ryan if he has anything he wants to add there. I'm happy to answer questions of the board as far as anything on these numbers, go through anything again. But the takeaway from what I want to present today is kind of an understanding of where money we have today, what our reserves say we have to have on hand, and then looking at that funding difference in the terminal and how can we cover it. That happy to answer questions as well. Thanks.
I have no comment. It's overwhelming to me.
So, one, the fact that we can even do this, to me, is a credit to fiscal management of this airport over the years. We've always said that. We've always had reserves. Never went bread, never asked for more money from the community. And again, I think the fact that we can do this is a credit. The number that worries me is the 14360, and I know that Ryan is watching them like a hawk. If you've ever built a house, and I don't know how much over that 14360 we are comfortable to accommodate. Could you kind of address, like, if it got worse, how bad could it get before we go into the swing?
So I would say before, I would think it would become maybe a potentially alarming thing. When we look at that $2 million general CIP reserve, again, in our general budget each year, we're budgeting $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 added back to reserves a year. So if we had to expend the full amount of the $2 million in a project, again, like this, a once-in-a-lifetime type project for the airport, I don't think that would be a crazy thing. What's when we start expanding beyond that, where we don't have a lot more to go. We only have our airfare money and then our emergency operating reserves, and this is what I would say is all untouchables. You know, we can't expend that.
Can I add something?
Sure.
When we negotiated the contract with the contractor, within that $14,360,000, we have contingency funds built in there. Okay. We have $300,000 within that $14 million plus for potential change orders. The agreement that we agreed to, the board agreed to, was Angeles Contractors took the full burden of the building for construction at the $14,300,000. The only time that $300,000 is going to be used is from district-initiated change orders. So the way I wrote it, and it's a lump sum, so if they build it per design, $14,360,000 $292.18 is the total cost of that building. We will only pay more if we initiate change orders. And I can tell you right now, we have two pending change orders. One is for about $30,000. And I don't know where the second one is coming in. But these are the things that we're dealing with when we, as we're building the project and we're going through it with the subcontractors, we're looking at the design saying, ooh, that doesn't seem right. We need to investigate that more. So that's kind of where we're at. So last meeting, I believe, or the meeting before, the board authorized for me to be able to use that $300,000 at my discretion. If we go and I would come back to the board at that next month and brief the board on what expenses have been spent. But at this time, that $300,000 is still there. We will probably see something here in the near future. But we built contingencies in there, but also the contractor is responsible for any unknowns, any unforeseens. It's solely on their responsibility. And that was a very difficult agreement to get it through, but we were able to do it.
Good job.
And again, I'm on site the entire time that they're doing construction.
The agreements will be authorized to him, but this is that discretion of agreement. Otherwise, he has to come back every time and really start build delays in the project.
Garden. A couple of things. These two change orders that you just referenced, that money is on the contractor to cover those expenses. Am I correct? Because those are not changes that we as the airport have initiated.
It's changes that me as the manager has initiated.
Oh, so these two changes you've initiated.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And then my other question, which I'm a little embarrassed to ask, is how did we get to this point of having this shortfall of funds? Because I thought we had all the money when we agreed to move forward and sign the contract for the construction. And now all of a sudden, at least for me, I'm finding that we're short on the money. How'd that happen?
That's not an embarrassing question.
So
it's embarrassing only to the fact that if it was discussed and I was asleep at the time.
Okay.
So
but I don't recall.
Yeah.
I don't recall hearing any of it. So yeah. This is a little bit of a shock to me.
It's a valid question. So back in April of 24, the project was $10.8 million. That's what it had been for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we borrowed the $7,950,000.
Set aside $3 million.
We set aside. So we had all the money ready to go. When we did the last rough order of magnitude and looked at the design, with the cost of inflation, it went up 30%, which escalated to the $14,360,000. I reached out to Congressman Obernolte. I asked him if we would be able to get some funding, asked how much we needed, told him needed around $3 million. And we decided to do four because during the appropriations, you might ask for four, you might get two, you might get one. I initiated all of the documents. I reached out to his chief of staff. We did all the documents. Everything was in place. And then I came to you, the directors, and said, hey, we're completely 100% funded. Let's move forward with the agreement with Angelus. About a month later, we had started getting into the demo and fencing, and contracts were signed. Had a meeting with Congressman Obernolte, asked when we needed the money. Told him I didn't need it right away, but we were going to be needing it. And about 2 weeks later, I got a call from his chief of staff, and that's when we were told that the money wasn't going to come as easy as they expected. DOGE got involved. They really tightened up the budget, the federal budget, and the continuing resolution did not include any appropriations funding. All the paperwork was done. It went through review, and we were allocated the $4 million. And so I came to you with that in hand. I thought we were in a good place.
I do remember you sharing with us, you know,
yeah,
what happened with what Lovely Buffy.
Yeah.
So is that with him pulling back on that commitment at the time, is that what we're addressing? It's just those dollars?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Trust me, I've lost a lot of sleep over this because it's been a big pill to swallow to try to figure out. That's one of the reasons why I brought Scott here. I could have given you these numbers, but I wanted a third party for transparency reasons. I want you guys to be comfortable. I want the public to be comfortable. This is a big, big project. It will probably be the biggest project this airport ever undertakes, but we need to find a pathway, and this is why I brought Scott today.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that my question has no reflection on my feeling of your performance. I just needed to understand,
yeah,
all of a sudden how we get to where we're,
yeah,
at.
I beat myself up. I beat myself up enough about it.
Personally, I don't think it needs you, Ryan. If somebody makes a commitment to you and they're both look out from underneath you, that's not your doing.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't reflect on you. But again, I just need to understand that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Now I would add to, you know, this is a way that we can do it with funds we have right now to show that the airport can do it. Without that commitment, you know, we still can't get the project. That being said, if, you know, an option like this isn't palatable, there's still, I'd say, at least one other thing to look at, which would be more financing. As mentioned, the district has very positive budget every year. We have plenty of room for more debt service if we wanted to go that route. We could do a small private placement, you know, for a few million dollars and look at it that way. That is another option, but that is adding more debt to the books and doing that, this versus an option like this, paying with cash rehab.
I do have a follow-up. Okay. Regarding Overdome, even though he's reneged on his offer, is that a done deal? Is that door closed, or could that be revisited at some point?
We've had multiple meetings with the Department of Transportation in Washington, D.C., chief of staffs, financial analysts, and I just don't think I want to put the district in a position to where we're hoping that it's going to come. I think that we need to look at a resolution quickly so we can move forward and fund this project. I don't see a pathway through Congressman Overnolte's office.
Yeah, let me clarify that. I'm not suggesting that it would be in the immediate future to whereby we would have to pursue this option. But if we were to pursue this option, approve it, and then that could be revisited, then we could get basically our money back.
It's possible. I haven't gone down that road yet. Once I found out that the funding wasn't there, my focus was on where do we make up the difference. So I got to run and get my battery charger.
You had another question, but it's the Ryan, so I'll answer. Other comment from the audience?
Yes. About those two changes, one of them 30,000 or so, and the other one's unknown so far.
Was the airport department able to see the first plan of the blueprint?